Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and this is Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Here is one of the questions that we'll be discussing today, Monday, March 11th, 2013. We're going to be talking about corporate profits. They're soaring. And what do you think is happening to the laborers? Well, we'll be talking about that here in just a little bit. Make sure you stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. But first, before we get into the questions and discussions, we're going to be going over the markets today. And we have gold. Gold is up just slightly today, 1582, up 170. You have silver basically right around the $29 level, 29.09. Platinum was up 3 at 16.05. Palladium down 5 at $781. You have the USDX today trading slightly lower, 0.11 at 82.61. And the markets today, I believe they're trading higher. They were trading higher. You know, they shot up 50 points this morning and pretty much stayed there. It added about 50 points today at 14,447. The NASDAQ was up 8 points at 32.52. S&P up 5 at 15.56. You have the 10-year yield trading at 2.06, and the euro is at 130. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. Here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading, give us a call. We got some great pricing on all of our products. Fast shipping. You don't have to wait 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 months. 6 months for your delivery. We hold your checks 5 to 10 business days till it clears, and then we ship the product right out to you. We do not speculate on the markets. We sell product we have, so we don't have to wait for things to go down before we can get the product in. 800-375-4188. Give us a call for all your gold and silver coin needs. And I'd like to say good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Hi, Al.
Spring is springing.
Spring has sprung.
Yep, it's nice.
Yes, it is.
Nice. Got the window open, getting some fresh air, listening to the traffic go by outside. Blah, blah, blah.
What, the deer?
No, I don't have any deer right where I am, but we do up where I'm going to be 3 months from now, thereabouts. They have deer, elk, wolves, mountain lion, bear. Wilderness. You understand? be up in an area, population is roughly two people per square mile. That's the average population. It's legitimate wilderness area just outside the borders of a national forest and so on. It's nice.
Mm.
I don't know if you ever saw that movie, Paint Your Wagon.
Mm.
Clint Eastwood.
I think I have. It's been
Clint Eastwood
a long time.
And Lee Marvin, and they were. Mm-hmm. It was a comedy. The musical comedy goes back into the 1970s, I think, early 1970s. That was filmed about 20 miles from where I'm right now and probably about 10 miles from where I will be living sometime this spring. And for those of you that are familiar, I mean, they've got some beautiful forests and woods and water and gold mines. Really, this still is a gold mining area. People mine gold up here, but it's not the way they did back at the turn of the century. For what it's worth, the nearest town of any significance is Baker City. Population probably 1,500, 2,000 people. They've got a hotel there that was built in the 1800s, right? And it's quite elegant. It's pretty amazing, and it still has, I don't know what it costs to eat there. You have to take a loan out at the bank to get in order to eat at that hotel, but it's still, I mean, it's still quite exquisite, and it catered. It was there at the time when gold mining was big business, all right? And there are a lot of rich people walking around here, and in any case, it's interesting and it's fun.
Well, you can get your pan and start panning, Al.
Listen, I know people. Mm-hmm. That are doing just that. In fact, they take their dredges out in the creek and they're trying to. I have one friend. He can pull about a month. He can get about an ounce a month out of the local creeks with his dredge. But I think by the time he gets done with the hours he puts in to pull that out of there, I think he's making $20 an hour for his time. I don't think he's actually making much. But it's one of these things where people get
the minimum wage.
Well, it's more than minimum wage, and when you get the gold fever,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just fun on one level, because you're going out there and you're waiting to turn over a rock, and one of these days you're going to turn over a rock, and there's going to be a nugget down there about the size of a chicken egg, and it motivates people.
It's good exercise,
too. Yeah, it's good exercise. Hard. It may not be economically sensible exactly, but it's good exercise, and it's great country. So yeah. What else have we got today?
Well, we were going to talk about a couple of things today, and one of them came out, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and the Illinois state government, there was a settlement over charges that the state defrauded investors by not giving them proper information about its pension funds. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is only the second time that the SEC had actually charged a state with security frauds. That other state was New Jersey, and with very similar misinformation back in 2010. And of course, they also reached a settlement with the agency without admitting any type of guilt. But of course, this with the Illinois, it involves the pension. And they said today the fraud occurred between 2005 and 2009 when the state sold $2.2 billion in bonds without disclosing the impact of problems with its pension funding schedule. And municipal investors are no less entitled to truthful risk disclosures than other investors. And that was said by Canellos. He's the acting director of the SEC's Division of Enforcement. So time after time, Illinois failed to inform its bond investors about the risk to its financial condition posed by the structural underfunding of its pension system. Gee, Al, what do you think?
Well, first off, we've got the traditions of Al Capone and Illinois. Apparently institutionalized, all right? They are still there. Illinois is not known for being I don't know that you can point to any state as being highly ethical, but certainly some states appear to be less ethical than others. Illinois would probably fall into that list and rate them ethically. Illinois probably won't be at the top. New Jersey is another one that has a long tradition of organized crime. Huh? And we shouldn't be too surprised if a little of that has infiltrated the state government and caused them to be willing to lie from time to time. Exaggerate a little bit. They commit fraud. It's the American way, at least in some places. The point is that the SEC has slapped the wrist of Illinois, the state government. They haven't named an individual. They aren't going to file any criminal charges. They're just saying, don't do it again. That's essentially all they're saying. Plus, they are warning all of the potential investors, you better watch your step. These state governments will lie to you. They will defraud you, and they will commit fraud in order to get your money. And the states are not, I'm going to be very much surprised if Illinois and then New Jersey back in 2010, these aren't the only states that are defrauding people. They're just the only ones that do it so blatantly that somebody has to do something about it. Huh? I would imagine there are other states that are also selling their bonds without telling people, giving them full disclosure as to what the economic impact is of those of the problems they have on the value of those bonds. So fraud is even among the states, and that should give all of you pause, make you wonder, gee, should I buy a paper debt instrument if even the states are lying? And then we get to the federal government. The SEC, I don't know that they dare to do this, but the truth of the matter is, when President Obama says the unemployment rate is only down around 7%, when it may be over, maybe double that, is he also guilty of defrauding potential investors, people who buy U.S. treasuries? What happens when he says the inflation rate's only 1.7% and maybe it's 8 or 9%? Is the federal government also committing the same acts that the SEC, they're disciplining, or at least they're threatening to discipline Illinois? But what's to stop them from applying the same principles to the federal government and federal bonds? And the implication, of course, is, you know, if you're going to buy those little pieces of paper, folks, if you think, oh yeah, I'll get a bond from a state government. Boy, won't that be secure? Well, you want to try that, go ahead. But we've told you on this program for several years, those paper debt instruments sooner or later are going to turn out to be substantially depreciated. It may be that, you know, you can buy bonds from Illinois or New Jersey or any place, and maybe they'll hold up for you. But there's a good chance that you're going to lose a significant portion of your investment. And the report from the SEC only, you know, it just verifies the warning we've been giving you for several years.
It's just another sign of the amount of fraud that is involving any type of these paper investments, whether it be bonds, anything coming out of Wall Street,
stocks. Yeah.
I mean,
and it's not just when they have to rely, when state governments have to rely on fraud to sell their bonds. This is also another indication of where our economy is right now. When you have to lie, get people to buy your products, that's usually a pretty good indication that you or your business or whatever department of government you're representing is in a lot of trouble. Huh? They are desperate, and the fraud is evidence of that desperation. And if they're desperate, you know, how much can you believe in? They're trying to say the building is not on fire. They're selling things, but the building is not on fire, and yet there's smoke all over, you know. Maybe it is on fire. What's the value of your bond? What's the value of your stock? What's the value? Again, it's for me, I'm going to spin this and look at it. And from my perspective, it simply supports the idea. If you're storing your wealth, if you want to store it, the sensible means of doing so is in something tangible like gold, silver, coins, tools, land. There's a variety of things you can do. But if you want liquidity, and you want concentration of wealth, you're pretty much looking for gold and silver coins.
Here's an article, Al. Military tuition assistance cut, but not so for illegals.
Yep.
You have illegal immigrants are being given tuition assistance, and federal government is cutting tuition assistance to the military. They're using budget cuts and sequester as an excuse. And here's just another Obama's crisis that is completely manufactured.
You know, and it's almost insane. Do you really want to antagonize those GIs? You know, the military that are back here, and now they did have an opportunity for tuition assistance, and now that tuition assistance is reportedly restricted, but still maintained for illegal aliens. You think that isn't going to make some of these people mad? You have to wonder how far you can push people sometimes. You know, you can needle people once in a while. You can, you know, kind of tease them and whatnot. But there comes a point in time where you have to reasonably wonder, is there a line, right, that maybe it would be dumb for me to cross? Maybe I shouldn't just keep needling until somebody gets so angry they find the next thing you know you got a bloody nose or you got a bullet in your head. How can this, you know, how can government be so stupid that they, this kind of insult, they will provide college tuition for illegal aliens, but they are restricting their former ability to provide college tuition for veterans. This is just stupid. You know, how many stupid things can you do before people finally say, you know, that government, that is stupid. They're stupid. Are they doing it to us because they're just stupid, or are they intending to try to make people really mad? Yeah, hard to say, but this is another one of those stories that you just shake your head.
And you know what's interesting? There's so many other areas that they could cut in order to have something like this continue. I mean, you had the Citizens Against Government Waste. They found that $3.3 billion was wasted by the government in 2012. This would allow the military to keep their assistance program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all federal workers, they owe $3.5 billion in back taxes. You know, hey, that's a good place to start. Make them pay up. You know, everybody else does. So there's a lot of areas where they wouldn't have to cut this type of a program. And, you know, it's always interesting. Whenever the defense has to cut back, they always hit the guys.
Oh, they...
They always cut right away.
It's the same thing. We'll talk about this perhaps later in the program. Who is going to take it in the neck from the sequester? I guarantee it'll be the ordinary people. Mm-hmm. The corporations are going to do fine. Right? It's the same thing when we go to war. Who gets shot? Ordinary people. Who gets rich? Corporations. Huh? And you start looking at this and you see the bias and you see, you know, time after time after time, and you eventually get to a point where you say, you know, this, I don't think this is a coincidence. I don't think this is an accident. I think the government is intentionally working to enrich the multinational corporations, major corporations and multinational corporations, and at the same time diminish the standard of living of ordinary Americans. It's not an accident. It's not. They're out to rob the ordinary people. They are in the pocket. They've been bought and paid for by corporations that are hiring lobbyists to bribe congressmen to pass laws that are favorable to major corporations and especially multinational corporations. It's infuriating. It's the sort of thing that should make people angry and upset. And we can only wonder. Is there going to come a time when that anger will burst out and people will say, what's going on here? Or are we going to sit and suffer as just suffer these evils while evils remain sufferable? There's words to that effect in the Declaration of Independence. And it says all mankind, I'm only quoting it roughly, but it says all mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to take action to right their condition. All right? But when a long train of abuses just finally piles up to where you finally have to say, all right, you SOBs, here we come. That was the justification for the American Revolution. The way government is acting, perhaps we will see a similar justification in the near future from some serious attempts to make the government obey the Constitution. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll take a break for some commercial announcements. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or a risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And here's a special from Melody at Discount Gold and Silver, and she thinks you need this special.
Absolutely. We had a terrific response for those Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens that we issued, that we recommended and had a special on Friday. That price was $1,995. That includes shipping, and you're looking at about $150 savings per coin. So it's a tremendous opportunity to go into this type of coin. You're not paying that much over melt. Excuse me, over what a Gold Eagle would cost. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. These are Mint State 64 $20 St. Gaudens gold pieces, NGC or PCG as graded. It's our choice as far as the certification company, but it was a very successful special. So we would like to continue that through today. Late night listeners, give me a call. We honored folks who called this morning with Friday's special. So give us a call in the morning, and we'll get you locked in on these coins. We'll probably only run this through today and, of course, early tomorrow morning. As the prices try to jump this morning, then they pulled back a little bit this afternoon. So they were actually up $15 from Friday. Then they had a little bit of a pullback actually just prior to the program. So 1-800-375-4188, 1995 includes all your shipping costs. Give us a call.
All right, what's next, Melody?
The French, are cutting back on austerity, and
let me pull up the.
Ouch.
Yeah, here it is, right here. The El Economista, European newspaper, presumably Spanish, reports that France defers further budget measures because of their recessionary impact. Now, France was going into austerity. At least that's what they claimed. They were going to, austerity means government is going to raise taxes and it's going to diminish the services it provides to the people. Raise taxes on the people, diminish the services it provides to the people. The result is austerity. People have less to spend, they get less from government, and they have less of their own pay to spend on things they'd like to spend. So here we have the Economista reports France defers further budget measures because of their recessionary impact. They are recognizing that they can't raise taxes without causing a recession or amplifying the existing recession, and they can't cut government services because if they do, that will contribute. People will have less. They will there'll be more costs imposed on the people. They won't be able to afford some things. And that will also push them deeper into a recession. French Minister of Budget, Jerome Cahuzac, acknowledged that new taxes or spending cuts have a recessionary effect in the short term. And given the weakness of the current situation, further efforts are ruled out for 2013. Now, what does this tell us? It tells us that the French are facing a situation much like that of the United States. They are much too dependent on government to support their economy. The government has to continue to spend money to keep the economy going, but at the same time, the government can't raise taxes because if it does, it will push the country deeper into a recession. Meaning that both France and the United States are riding an economic tiger that depends on government spending. When they can't, we depend on government spending, they can't raise taxes and they can't cut the benefits. How are we going to hold this together? We can't quit. Once these governments become addicted to this idea that perhaps can be traced ultimately to fiat currency, but the idea that the government can just keep writing checks and writing checks and writing checks and just buy or pay for anything anyone wants. Once the people of the country become addicted to these free lunches, the government can't quit providing the free lunches. They can't go into austerity, which essentially means no more free lunches for you. Huh? It also means that those governments will push, they must push, to inflate their own currencies in order to rob their creditors. They have to go deeper into debt right now. They can't do austerity without collapsing the economy. That means they have to borrow more money in order to try to sustain the illusion that we have a strong or a recovering economy. And all of this means, and how will they get out from paying the debt? They can't even pay the debt they have right now. They have to either repudiate the debt or kill the creditors or inflate in order to pay off with cheaper dollars. I guarantee all of this means the price of gold is going up. The government has locked itself, of France and the United States, they've locked themselves into a quandary. And they can't quit. If they quit going into debt, the whole thing collapses. If they raise taxes, it collapses. If they cut the money they're spending on the people substantially, that it collapses, which tells us We are headed for some sort of a significant decline, and maybe it's this year and maybe it's next year, and who knows when it's going to happen. But everything suggests there is no way out. All they can do is kick the can and kick the can a little further down the road and try to hold this together and play for time. But in kicking the can, every time they kick that can, they're going to contribute to inflation, and that should mean the price of gold is going up. And that's the way I read it. What do you think, Melody?
I agree, and I don't think people understand. There just isn't anything else that they can do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can have their currencies get stronger. I mean, look what's happening here. Our currency's getting a little bit stronger, and you're gradually seeing the yields climb on the bonds. You get too high of a bond, and that's going to collapse. So, you know, they're just treading water. You know, they're trying to keep it and extend this for as long as possible. So, and it's just not here, it's there. I saw in a report today that Greece, you know, it's back in the talking that they're ready to quit the euro. Mm-hmm. And, hey, they're there with their hands out. And they're going to keep their hands out and keep it going until that nothing fills their hand anymore.
That's exactly right. And that's the deal.
Yeah.
And the European Union understands this.
Yeah.
The European Union is essentially being extorted by Greece. Little Greece is saying, you better give us some money or we're gonna drop out of the European Union. Well, just dropping out of the European Union, the cycle, it won't matter a great deal if Greece bails out.
But, the other ones.
Well, it sets first one out. I mean, somebody who's the first one, the question is who's number two and three, and how many more will follow suit. So the European Union is now at a position where they are forced to bribe the Greeks by giving them money in order to try to hold their economy together. And if the Greeks don't get, as long as they get a good bribe, they'll hang in with the European Union. But can the European Union bear the strain of supporting Greece? And other countries are going to follow Greece's example. They're going to understand, if you don't give us more money, we're going to quit.
But what's the motivator behind this? It's the people. The people are worn out with it. They didn't want the euro to begin with because it made their things cost so much more. They had to work harder, longer, and they had less because of the euro was so strong, and it cost them a lot. They would like to go back to their own currencies. You know, they didn't like the European Union. It wasn't the people who decided to have this. It was the elite who were trying, as far as I'm concerned, it was an experiment to see. And as far as being able for more of a global presence, I believe that was one of the first experiments. But it's the people. I mean, you can see this in the elections in Italy. You know, you have a you have a clown, for goodness sake, or a comedian.
He's an honest man. I don't argue that I agree with his policies. But he's got a track record going back probably 30 years when he's been on the stage, and you pretty much know what this guy's been talking about for the last 20, 30 years. He's got a track record. You can see, you know, he's for real.
Yep.
All right? He might not be what you want, but he is not a politician that's been brought in from central casting because he has the right look and the right language. This guy, Beppe Grillo, I believe is the name. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah, Beppe Grillo. It sounds like one of the dummies that used to be with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy. You know, you had Charlie McCarthy and Beppe Grillo. No, this guy's an Italian comedian. And the great thing about this is he started an alternative party just 3.5 years ago. And now that party is the predominant party. It has amazingly won in the last most of the votes. Not even a majority, but it's the biggest party now in the way they structure things in Italy. And they have something like 162 members in the Italian parliament right now, and they are the single biggest bloc in the Italian parliament. And amazing things have happened. And it was done mostly over the internet. And really, it's an inspiring story in a lot of regards because it tells us that it's possible for something similar to happen in this country. A new third party could jump up, you know, if you find the right guy. You find the right guy who's able to, you know, one way or another, reach out to the public. I think part of the reason Beppe Grillo was successful is because he's a comedian. And what I mean by that You can communicate a lot of ideas to people. And the idea is if you communicate them in a serious manner, which is something I tend to do probably. I do a certain amount of comedy, I guess, or jokes or whatever, humor. But mostly I'm pretty serious. Now stop giggling. You're giggling at me. Huh? I'm not even trying to be funny, and Melody's laughing at me. That's the part that I really galls me. I have this notion about doing stand-up comedy, but Melody always laughs when I'm not telling jokes. The jokes I tell, no, she doesn't laugh at those. But the rest of it, yeah, she laughs about what I'm trying to get to. People who communicate ideas with humor communicate the ideas in a way that is kind of gentle, and it's non-threatening. And I think Pepe Grillo was able to do that. He did his comedy for years, and he told people about Parliament and the problems they had, and he made a joke out of it. And people weren't threatened by it, but when they went home, therefore they thought about it, and they said, you know, I think that guy's right. Do you remember that joke he told about the Parliament doing this, that, or the other thing? I think he's right. I think it's true. I think there may be a point to communicating with humor. I think it's easier for people to understand, and they're more willing to consider it later on. I don't know if that's true, but in any case, it's, you know, personal opinion. Got an idea. What do you think, Melody? Are we better off doing comedy or seriousness?
Did you hear what the one gold nugget said to the other?
No, I did not. No, I did not. And I don't think there's... That's a very good question. That's a very good question, and I guess it answers that you believe humor is the way to go.
Maybe.
Well, I think
you know what?
Well, there's a lot to be said
what,
for.
You didn't ask me what one said to the other nugget.
I didn't even think you had an answer for that. I thought that was just... All right, tell me.
It's a call discount gold and silver trading.
All right. I get that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in any case, point behind, you know, Italy. Who knows what's going to happen? But I think if you've seen pictures of Beppe Grillo, he is, in some photographs, man, I don't know, he's in his 60s anyway. The man is overweight and in some regards almost grotesque. Right? Some of the photos you see this guy, this is not a movie star. Right? And I think that's part of the reason people trust him. He is honest, where most of the rest of them, they say whatever the polls indicate the public wants to hear. They're not telling you what they think. They aren't even telling you what's right for the country. They're telling you what they know you want to hear. And insofar as they're doing that, I think the Italians are finally just fed up and said, look, we got to have somebody who will tell us the truth. Even if I don't like this guy, will he at least tell us the truth? So that's my theory on Beppe Grillo and his success, and I wish him well. Again, he's pretty much of a leftist. I don't agree with his collectivist politics, but I applaud his ability to come out of nowhere and create a viable and important alternative party in Italy. It's really a pretty amazing story.
Well, you know those Italians. I mean, you had Berlusconi, who was, you know, came out of nowhere, and, you know, we all know his corruption and so forth. In fact, I believe he's scheduled to go to jail for a year, and it's surprising how well he did in that election. So, you know, again, you think about, are their elections just as rigged as ours?
You know, we were talking, Frank, the producer, he sent me, reminded me that at least three recent, we talked about Illinois being sanctioned for defrauding bond investors. They haven't been punished, but they've been just had their wrists slapped. And Frank reminded me that he was pointing out at least three of the governors of Illinois, the recent governors of Illinois, have gone to jail. And I believe it's four out of the last five. My recollection is that four out of the last five governors of Illinois have gone to prison. Now, that is not a recommendation for buying bonds. You understand? You might as the Capone special or whatever. I'm not sure how they're going to name them, but Italy is somewhat like that. They wink at corruption. They wink at associations with organized crime to some degree. I'm not saying, but what are you going to do? If you're going to wink at these things, you're going to pay the price for them. Those who want to wink at a lack of ethics, an inclination to commit crime, you're going to pay a price. You're going to be robbed. Somewhere down the line, you have to insist that the world behaves in an honest way, and you have to be prepared to make whatever efforts are required to compel that honesty among people, especially from the government you're dealing with. I'm Alfred Adisk. I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back in another 3 minutes or so. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. And really, we could sit back and say, how much do you need gold and silver right this minute? And it might be right this minute, maybe you don't exactly need it, but how much are you going to need it a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 10 years from now? In terms of investments that look forward into the future and preserve your wealth, you're just not likely to find anything else that's going to match the potential for gold and silver. If you're looking into the future, if you're looking just the next, 10 minutes or 10 days or whatever, well, I don't know. If you're just going to be a speculator, gold and silver is not necessarily a place you want to go. You can if you want to. But if you're looking forward, you're investing, you're thinking in terms of years, what else you got? What else they have, Melody?
Here's a question in from Tom and Mary, Oregon. Neighbors, they're trying to understand if bitcoins are a good investment in a small amount. Max Kaiser said he thinks that the bond market has crashed because Bitcoin is over $45. Should a person be in Bitcoin, as it can be redeemed any place in the world?
I find Bitcoins to be intriguing. I don't claim to fully understand them, but they are an investment of sorts. You can you can buy them, and they and the price, the value of the Bitcoin is determined by the market. What are people willing to pay for Bitcoins right now? And I think actually it's well over 45. I don't know for sure. I think it's up in the neighborhood of 60, 65. I think I saw that, but that may be mistaken. But they started out, I think they're only worth a buck a piece. And people have bid them up and bid them up and bid them up. And you can buy. How many do you want? You just, if they're, if you bought them, it's, let's say $40 per Bitcoin. Well, you can sell them if you want. If somebody comes up and says, I'll offer $45 for Bitcoins. Well, you can sell them and take the $5 profit if you want. You can use these. They are a digital currency that exists on the Internet. You can use these to purchase things from other sources. I understand you can perhaps cause them. You can transfer them into dollars or yen or whatever it is, whatever other currency you want. And they sound attractive and interesting, and in small amounts, it might be worth taking a flyer on them. But fundamental theme, to my way of thinking, fundamental theme on this program is that when you are trying to protect your wealth and you are trying to invest in hopes of even generating more wealth than you have, We're pushing the idea that all of the paper and digital debt instruments are going to ultimately turn into, they're going to be badly depreciated and maybe vaporized. I am inclined to believe that at least 80, maybe 90% of the existing debt instruments will eventually be, will disappear. They'll be shown to be worthless or worth only maybe 10, 20% of their original purchasing power. They're going to be brought down a lot. Now, operating from that premise, that's my premise. Operating from that premise, I don't trust anything digital, and I certainly don't trust anything paper. I'm not saying there's anything suspicious about Bitcoins, but I'm saying worst case scenario, which is the least likely scenario, but still worst case scenario. I would rather have a gold coin in my pocket than have a bunch of 100 bitcoins that are up on a computer when maybe the internet's not even functioning anymore. How are you going to get those coins if the internet goes down, if there's a disruption of electrical system? How are you going to get those bitcoins? On the other hand, if you've got a handful of gold coins, you still have, you've got some money that can move, right, and can be used. So they're interesting. Bitcoins are interesting. Bitcoins may be a good short-term investment. Long-term for me, gold or silver.
If you go into something like that and you play with it, you use disposable income, money that you can afford to lose. If you want to play with it and see what money you can make, just make sure if you make a little, you don't, you pull it out, folks. That's where people go wrong. They never pull out any of their profits. They hold it, and they end up losing it. So if you make a little money, and I don't know why people feel you have to make 100% or 200%, hey, a nice little 10% profit, pull it out. You can still let your investment ride. You eventually want to pull out your main principal and then just ride on the profit. I mean, that's how you do it in Vegas, and you know, doing this is no different. But when I was reading this about the money supply is automated, limited, divided, and scheduled and given to servers or Bitcoin miners that verify Bitcoin transactions and add them to an archive transaction log every 10 minutes, I'd have to say, the log is authenticated by ECDSA digital signatures. And it's like, Who's all doing this? And I don't believe as of March 2013, the beginning of this month, the monetary base of Bitcoin is valued at over $400 million. I don't know how that would be related to the bond market. So I'd have
relationship to that was one other point. It may be Bitcoins are one thing and the bond market is another thing, but I don't think Bitcoins are have collapsed the bond market.
Why would anybody go to Bitcoin in order to, people go into bonds for safety. That's their initial reasons for going to bonds is for safety. So I don't see Bitcoin taking over that safety. A safe haven, so to speak. So
there's one other point also. Bitcoin, if they've got up if they are now the total Bitcoin inventory runs to $400 million. Is that what you said?
$400 million US dollars.
That's not an enormous sum. It is for someone like you and me, but in terms of finance, it's not an enormous sum. But as Bitcoin gets bigger, you can anticipate that there will be sharks in the water, and they will be looking for a way to hack into the Bitcom computer programs and move that 100 million, 200 million, 500 million, whatever's there, at least a big chunk of it, in directions that are contrary to ordinary Bitcom owners' best interests. You do things digital, they can Photoshop those, for lack of, I'm using this as an analogy, they can Photoshop your Bitcoins. They can make them bigger, they can make them smaller. You can do all that on the internet. Now, I'm using that as an analogy. I'm not saying that they will actually make images of the Bitcoins or whatever. That's not my point. But are you going to trust your wealth to a computer program that's inevitably hackable? And I don't care what you say, if you've got a computer program that is a computer with a program that ultimately has to be accessible to the public. People are buying these coins. People, they have whatever security system they have in there. If there's enough money, there's going to be a reason to breach that security system. And I don't care how brilliant it is, there's a good chance. I won't say it'll happen for sure, but there's a good chance. They'll breach the security system, and all of a sudden you're going to find out, oops, where's my Bitcoins? Where's the value of my Bitcoins? It's interesting. It's an exciting technology. I've looked at it myself. I think it's intriguing, and I'd like to know more about it. But for the moment, I will stick with clunky old gold and silver coins. What else have we got, Melody?
I think something like that is a true move to the... perhaps a cashless society, I suspect. But according to Money News, this is in from Ivan, while stocks may be at record highs, a mild recession actually began in 2012, according to the Economic Cycle Research Institute. Does this not indicate a manipulated economic system?
Well, I'm not exactly certain that I follow the correlation that Yvonne is talking about, but yeah, I'd say it's manipulated all the way. You may be familiar with a guy named Walter Burian, who did some investigation. He discovered the Comprehensive Annual Financial Reports back about 1990-91. And it's a second set of books that are kept by the government that are prepared after the year is over, and they record how much was actually brought in revenue and how much was spent. All we ever hear about is the budget. Budget, budget, budget. The budget is nothing but a projection. It's an anticipation of what we might do next year. It's like the idea we're going to take a trip and we're going to drive to California. And the first day, we're going to get to the Grand Canyon. We'll spend 2 days there, and then we're going to drive on. We're going to see Knott's Berry Farm and Disneyland, the rest of that. But that's our budget. That's our plan, our projection. That's our plan for the vacation. But what happens if we have a wreck before we ever get to the Grand Canyon? What happens if we have a flat tire? What happens if Aunt Martha, and we're taking her along, and all of a sudden she needs to go to the hospital? Now what? The budget is only a projection, and it's a sneaky projection. Well, the point that I want to make is that when Walter Burian, he discovered the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and this exists for every city, state, municipality, by law. This happens after the year is over. This reports what really happened. This is where we find out, whoops, we had to take Aunt Martha, and we couldn't make it to the Grand Canyon. We had to bypass the Grand Canyon. We did get to Knott's Berry Farm. We didn't go to Disneyland, and we had to rush back because Aunt Martha was this, that, or the other. The budget tells us the real deal. All we hear about, the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report gives us a real accounting of what's happened. And the point is that this system is manipulated and intended to deceive from top to bottom. We see instances where governors, 4 out of 5 governors of Illinois go to prison. The last 4 out of the last 5 go to prison. We see the SEC warning that, oh, you'll never believe this, but the government of Illinois might be defrauding its potential creditors by refusing to tell people how much trouble they're in. It's simply evidence that the system is corrupt, unethical. It is manipulated, if only insofar as they try to keep the public from knowing how bad things really are. So part of the answer, at least to Yvonne's question, is the system manipulated? Yeah, of course. What's the price of gold, Yvonne? You know as well as I do. I assume you and I both believe the same thing. We believe the price is artificially suppressed. I don't know if that's what you believe or not. But I am inclined to believe that's true. And I imagine Yvonne thinks the same thing. Yeah, it's manipulated, and what does that mean? It means that we have to use our own eyes and our own ears and a certain amount of common sense and whatever intelligence God gave us to try to get around the manipulation, get around the deception, and reach a point where we can make intelligent decisions on how to run our lives. The government is not working on our behalf. I mean, anybody who looks at it can see that it seems to be undeniably so. So you got to work on your behalf. Huh? What do you think, Melody?
He also has another question. The sterling fell below 1.49 Monday morning as a strong dollar and fears over easing continue to hammer the British currency. Will the Bank of England increase quantitative easing similar to the USA?
Well, I haven't followed. I don't follow the currency markets per se, and I'm not absolutely. I don't necessarily understand Yvonne's question, but I think he's saying that the English pound has depreciated in value just recently, in part because the dollar is appreciating in value and moving up. Is that roughly correct, Melody? Did I understand that?
Yes.
All right. Well, and beyond that, he wants to know whether the English government is going to inflate their currency, go into quantitative easing, which would cause the English pound to depreciate even further. My guess would be, yes, no one wants their currency to appreciate. Right now, the United States, the dollar is up. Instead of being down around 80, it's 82 point whatever. It's up a little bit. That means it's more valuable than it was, say, a month ago. Right? The government doesn't want that. We don't want a deflating currency. We don't want the dollar to become more valuable. The government doesn't. They want a cheaper currency. Why is the government, has our dollar been increasing in value? Part of the reason is because Japan has made it its business. It said, we are going to inflate the poo out of the yen. And we are locked, part of that. The U.S. dollar index is the U.S. dollar versus six other currencies, one of which is the yen. When the yen, when they inflate, we're on a teeter-totter situation. When they inflate dramatically, the dollar has to go up. And the government doesn't want the dollar to go up. I'm waiting to see when they break loose and they say, that's enough of that. We got to have inflation here. We can't be paying our debt off with more expensive dollars. We need cheaper dollars. We need quantitative easing. We need more of it. And you, the rest of you people, you Japanese and English and the rest of you people, stop inflating your currency so we can inflate ours. So I'm not sure if that makes much sense, but it appears this teeter-totter effect. When Japanese currency is inflated, U.S. dollar is deflated. That's bad for the government. They don't want it. I don't know how they're going to deal with it in this country. England should be happy to see their currency depreciated, inflated. They should be happy about that, at least the government of England, not the people, of course. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow with Roger Sale. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.